Welcome to tape number 7 of A Treatise of Miscellany Questions by George Gillespie. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. There is no copyright on this material, and we encourage you to reproduce it and pass it on to your friends. Many free resources, as well as our complete mail-order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. And now to our reading of A Treatise of Miscellany Questions by George Gillespie, which we pray you find to be a great blessing, and which we hope draws you nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing our reading, beginning with Chapter 10, of New Lights and How to Keep Off from Splitting Either Upon the Cherry Bids of Pertinacity and Tenaciousness, or upon the Scilia or of Levity, Wavering and Skepticism. And for the listener's benefit, Charybids is spelled CHARYBDIS, and Scilia is spelled SCYLLA. It is pleaded by some who pretend to more tenderness of conscience than others, that to establish by the law of the land a confession of faith, or a directory of the worship of God, and of a government of the church, and to appoint penalties or punishments upon such as maintain the contrary doctrines or practices, is to hold out and to shut the door upon new light. That as the state and church hath discovered the evil of diverse things, which were sometimes approved and strengthened by the law of the land, so there may be afterwards a discovery made by the light of experience in a further search of the Scripture to make manifest the falsehood of those doctrines which are now received as true, and the evil of that government and way which is now embraced as good. For satisfaction in this difficulty, first of all, I do not deny, but most willingly yield, yes, assert as a necessary truth, that as our knowledge at its best in this world is imperfect, for we know but in part, so it ought to be our desire and endeavor to grow in the knowledge of the mind of Christ, to follow on to know the Lord, to seek after more and more light. For the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. Secondly, I acknowledge that this imperfection of our knowledge is not only in degrees, but in parts, that is, we may know afterwards not only more of the good or evil or truth of error, of which we know somewhat before, but we may happily come to know the evil of that whereof we knew no evil before, or the good of that in which we knew no good before. So we may come to know diverse truths which before we knew not. Thirdly, I acknowledge there is not only this imperfection, but oft times a great mistake, misunderstanding, error, and unsoundness in the judgment of the Christian persons or churches, so that godly men and true churches may come to know that to be evil which they sometime thought good, and that to be false which sometime they thought true, are contrariwise, which experience hath taught and may teach again. Fourthly, I confess it is no shame for as Augustine to write a book of retractions. It is the duty, not only of particular Christians, but of reformed, the best reformed churches, whensoever any error in their doctrine, or any evil in their government or form of worship, shall be demonstrated to them from the Word of God, although it were but by one single person, or one perhaps of no great reputation for parts or learning, like Paphnabas, that's Paphnatius, among the many learned bishops in the Council of Nice, to take in and not to shut out further light, to embrace the will of Christ held forth unto them, and to amend what is amiss, being discovered unto them. Fifthly, I also believe that towards the evening of the world there shall be more light, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel 12, verse 4. And many hid things in Scripture better understood, when the Jews shall be brought home, and the Spirit of grace and illumination more abundantly poured forth. We have great cause to long and pray for the conversion of the Jews. Surely we shall be much the better of them. But, on the other hand, the greatest deceits and depths of Satan have been brought into the world under the name or notion of new lights. Did not the serpent beguile Eve with this notion of a new light? Genesis 3, verse 5. Which example the apostle setteth before our eyes, 2 Corinthians 11:3, plainly warning us that Satan is transformed into an angel of light, and his apostles into the apostles of Christ, verse 13 and 14. So Revelation 2, verse 2. Did not Jeroboam make Israel to sin by a false new light? It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel. 1 Kings 12:28. He would show to the 10 tribes how they might, in all matters of religion, be independent upon Jerusalem. Howbeit, to note that, by the way, he did not erect independent churches without an independent commonwealth. He would show them also that they were abused with a pretended sacred order of the priest, the ministers of the Lord, therefore no just divinum men, but ministers dependent. 2 Chronicles 11, verse 14 and 15. And so he would needs make priests of the lowest of the people, verse 31. For all which he had a pretense of power or liberty from God, 1 Kings 11, verse 37. His new light made an independent church and an independent ministry. The Gnostics had their name from the profound knowledge and greater light which they pretended to above all others, yet the ancient writers tell us they were but a profane sect. Muhammad himself pretended that the angel Gabriel taught him his Quran, that so he might purchase the greater credit to it. Now, it is to be observed there are many cautions necessary, and that there is much to be said against many of those things which now go under the name of new lights among those that who plead for liberty of conscience. New light is now become a beguiling word, as once among the Grecians, a new swallow, a beguiling word, I may well call it, for most of those things which are now cried up as new lights are neither lights nor new. Not lights, because not according to the word, from whence all true light must be derived. Not new, because the very same things have been before moved and maintained. Antinomianism, Anabaptism, universal atonement by the death of Christ, universal salvation, a temporal and earthly kingdom of Christ, and the saints' liberty of conscience have been maintained and confuted also before this age. Independency itself, if it be a light, yet it is no new light lately one struck out, for it was long since a known tenet of the Arminians that synods or councils ought only to debate, deliberate, consult, and advise, but not to exercise any jurisdiction, to inflict any censure, or to enjoin anything under pain of censure. See the propositions offered by the Arminians in the 25th session of the Synod of Dort. But I come to the particular cautions concerning new lights. First, it is but a false new light, which expelleth not only the old darkness, but much of the good old light. As in medicines, the Paracelsian's way, that's Paracelsian way, is most dangerous when it is destructive to the Galenic way, that's Galenic way, and overthroweth the old approved principles. Yet it is of very good use when prudently and skillfully managed for perfecting the Galenic way, and for doing things more speedily, easily, and pleasantly than the Galenic way could do. So in divinity, such new lights as do not expel, but retain, reprove, and perfect the old may be of singular good use. But those new lights which are destructive and expulsive of the old true lights, those new ways which lead us away from the old and the good way, are to be utterly disliked and avoided. 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. He speaks it against those deceivers who would have seduced them from the doctrine of Christ, as is evident from both the preceding verse and from that which followeth. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. A bishop, said Paul, Titus 1:9, must hold fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. Philippians 3:16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. This he adds as a prevention of a dangerous mistake and abuse of that which he hath said immediately before. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Behold, a reserve for any new light, might some say. Nay, but take heed, saith the apostle, you do not shut forth, but keep fast the light you already attained unto. You must not, under pretense of new light, lose what you have gained. Colossians 2:6-8. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. These apostolical rules are very far contrary to the academical, yea, Pyrrhonian demure, that's Pyrrhonian demure, and dubitation, by which some call in question the most received doctrines in the Christian church. If skepticism be tolerable in the Christian faith, why are we bidden stand fast in the faith? 1 Corinthians 16:13, and again Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And why did Jesus Christ himself write to those who had not received the false doctrine of that time, "That which you have already, hold fast till I come"? Revelation 2:24. It was a foul error in Balaam the false prophet, that after God had said to him concerning Balak's messengers, "Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Numbers 22:12. Yet at the next sending of messengers, he would needs seek, forsooth, a new light from God. Verses 18 and 19. If Balak would give me his houseful of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. God gave them a new light indeed, but in wrath and judgment, quite extinguishing and expelling judicially that light which the false prophet himself had not entertained, but wickedly forsaken. Verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night, and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Behold the fruit of not entertaining light once received from God." So likewise the young prophet, 1 Kings 13, for not holding fast what he had received from God, but taking in a new false light from the old prophet, was most exemplarily and severely punished for it. This is the first caution most necessary for the sectaries of this time, whose new lights are such that among them go hand in hand together and are almost convertible terms, as if a man should not keep what he had because he finds somewhat what he had not. Secondly, many of those new lights which some brag of not only expel much of the good old light, but bring in gross Egyptian darkness. There is a woe denounced against those who put darkness for light, as well as against those who put light for darkness. Isaiah 5:20. I may well say that gross darkness is introduced when the fundamental articles of faith are called in question, denied, and impugned, as the Godhead of Jesus Christ, the divine authority of the Scripture, the immortality of the soul, the eternity of glory to the elect and of torments to the reprobate and following. If the foundations be shaken, what can the righteous do? If we hold fast not this gospel, if we embrace not this Savior, we cannot have another. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 6 and 8. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calleth you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Thirdly, beware of those new lights which make any certain truth, although neither fundamental nor circumstantial, to be uncertain. As we ought not to say of any sin, as neither of any truth, is it not a little one? Let every truth be highly valued. Buy the truth and sell it not. Say not, this truth is but a matter of discipline. Let it go, it is not worthy the buying. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Luke 16, verse 10. Melchior Adamus, that's Melchior Adamus, both in the life of Carolus, that's Carolus, and in the life of Luther, observeth the great evil which grew out of Luther's dislike of Carolus' strictness, zeal and forwardness in abolishing auricular confession and differences in meats and casting out images out of the churches, at which things Luther was the more offended because done by Carolus in Wittenberg during Luther's absence and without his knowledge and counsel. Luther did also allege that Carolus' strictness and zeal in these things hindered and retarded the Reformation in more substantial points of doctrine. However, the story noted that hence was the first rise of that deplorable sacramentarian controversy which has ever since made so great a rupture in Germany. I could never yet observe or read or hear of controversies about discipline in any Christian church, but still they grow higher and higher. And those who rejected or slighted the will of Christ in smaller things did afterwards slight it in greater things. Fourthly, beware of those new lights which not only refuse to admit some certain truths, but refuse to admit any truth now held or professed in the Reformed churches as sure and certain and infallible, as if because men's judgments are not infallible but subject to error, therefore we cannot be sure nor infallibly persuaded of this or that article. The Holy Scripture will teach us that believers may attain to a certain and infallible knowledge of some truths, for it was no impossible thing that Paul prayed for when he prayed that the Colossians might have all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the mystery of the Father and of Christ. The mystery of God, that he is, and that he is eternal, invisible, omnipotent, his nature and attributes, the mystery of the Father, or that there is a distinction of persons in the Holy Trinity, and in an eternal generation, the mystery of Christ, his person, natures, offices, birth, passion, death, resurrection, ascension, and intercession, these are things of which the Apostle would have us most fully and certainly persuaded. Timothy was assured of the things he had learned, 2 Timothy 3:14. So was Theophilus, Luke 1, verse 4. A mariner is not infallible in his judgment, yet he may be assured infallibly that such a thing is a rock which he must avoid, and such a way is the way he must direct his course. A physician is not infallible in his judgment concerning the symptoms, causes, and cures of diseases, yet he may be most certainly persuaded such a disease is deadly, and there is no cure for it, or such a thing may be cured, and this is the cure. So, in divinity, the obnoxiousness of men's judgments to error hindereth not, but they may be infallibly persuaded of this and the other truth. Fifth, beware of those new lights which come not from the Son of Righteousness, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8, verse 20. When men walk in the light of their own sparks, they shall lie down in darkness. New fancies are not new lights. It is no truth which cannot be grounded upon the word of truth. It was a wild fancy of the Weigelians, that is, Weigelians, that there is a time to come, which they call Latin term, in which God shall by his Spirit reveal much more knowledge and light than was revealed by Christ and his apostles in the Scriptures. There is so much revealed in Scripture as the apostle calls the wisdom of God and the hidden wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2:7. The things which are preached and written to us are the things which the very angels desire to look or pry into. 1 Peter 1, verse 12, and saith not Christ, that which you have already, hold fast till I come. Revelation 2, verse 25. Most of this error see in Brochmand, Brochmand. Sixthly, take heed of proud and loftily Sixthly, take heed of proud and lofty and self-conceited new lights. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 32 and 33. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. If the spirits of the prophets must be so subject, how much more the spirits of private persons? Wherefore, in a reformed church, all pretended new lights, which are against the received doctrine, government, or form of worship, ought to be, in all humility and submission, offered to be tried by a learned and godly synod. The Locrian, that's R-O-C-R-E-A-N, severity was such that no man might move for a new law but with a rope about his neck, that if his motion were thought good, he might be spared, but if bad, hang. So Demosthenes, that's Demosthenes, tells us, I will not allow this severity against such as offer new lights or move for new changes in the church, but I may well apply here the Athenian law recorded by Demosthenes, Demosthenes, in the same oration. The Athenians went not so far as the Locrii, L-O-C-R-I, yet no man might move for a new law in Athens unless the motion were offered and submitted to the Senate, which were to judge whether the old or the new were better. Seventhly, beware of separating new lights. To separate from or gather new churches out of the true Reformed or Reforming churches hath not the least warrant from the Word of God. When we see this or that amiss in a church, we are bidden to exhort one another and provoke one another to good, but not to separate. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Zwingli conferred amicably with the Anabaptists in Zurich, as with dissenting brethren, and no course was taken to suppress or restrain them by the secular power, till they grew to gather churches out of the true Reformed churches. But when it came to that, they could not be suffered or allowed or forborne, it was thought necessary to restrain them. Eighthly, beware of those new lights which dare not to be seen and are kept up in corners. Truth seeks no corners. Light doth not shun light. A candle is not lighted to be put under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Matthew 5, verse 15, 1 John 3, verse 20 and 21. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. I add to make up the antithesis to verse 18, their way is darkened more and more until the dark night. I have heard when the Arminians were put to it in the Synod of Dort to declare their judgment and sense, which they would hold at, they declined it, and Episcopus, that's E-P-I-S-C-O-P-I-U-S, answered in the name of the rest. And is it not so with the sectaries of this time, from whom you cannot draw a clear model of what they hold? Ninthly, refuse such new lights as have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11. It is a deceitful new light which makes men forbear to reprove, speak, or petition against those evils in a state which their consciences know to be sinful, and to wink at such things as publicly dishonor God in a nation upon hopes that themselves shall be winked at and tolerated. But what communion hath light with darkness? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. There are some who pretend to new light and to tenderness of conscience, who yet are content to combine and associate themselves with those of another and different way, which themselves condemn as a sinful way, in that common cause of theirs for crying up their great Diana, liberty of conscience, and for opposing the church government by presbyteries and synods. How they who would not assist the Presbyterians for the purging of their congregations and keep off all scandalous persons from the sacrament, and yet do assist and strengthen Separatists, Anabaptists, and Antinomians, Socinians, Erastians, Seekers, in seeking after toleration, how, I say, they will answer this to God and their own consciences, let them look to it. Again, many of the pretended new lights have communion with darkness in another respect, because they are borrowed from heresies buried in darkness. How many new lights are now brought from the Arians, Manichees, Novatians, Donatists, the contemplative monks and friars, the Photicians, and Photicians is P-H-O-T-I-N-A-I-A-N-S, Socinians, Arminians, and others. These are no more new lights than a beggar's cloak is a new garment, being newly made up out of many old riven and rotten clouts sewed together. Tenthly, away with those new lights which let men see nothing better, which bring no edification, those nonsense and haughty high nonsense in which some frothy spirits evanish. Let all things be done unto edification, 1 Corinthians 14:26. There are vain babblings and science, falsely so called, which hath made men err from the faith, 1 Timothy 6, verse 20 and 21. Lastly, take good heed of those new lights which follow new interests. Such was that of Jeroboam, 1 Kings 12:26 to the end, and that of Balaam, Numbers 22, verse 15 to 20. There are some who suppose that gain is godliness, saith the apostle, 1 Timothy 6:5, and so there are some who suppose new interests to be new lights. Chapter 11. Of Stability and Firmness in the Truth. It is good divinity to maintain that skepticism, fluctuation, and wavering concerning those things which God hath revealed to be believed or done by us is a sin, and to be firm, fixed, and established in the faith is a duty commanded. I shall first prove it to be so, then give reasons for it, and thirdly, some helps to this duty, and preservatives against this sin. For proof of the thing somewhat might be said from the very light of nature. For hath a nation changed their gods? Jeremiah 2, verse 11. Religion hath the very name of it, religiano, in the Latin term, so it is a relaxando. The heathen Greeks called a lubricious, inconstant man, Latin term. They said also that he who errs or miscarries in his religion doth drink out of a bored or foraminous cup. Foraminous is spelled F-O-R-A-M-I-N-O-U-S cup. How firm and constant hath heathen philosophers been in maintaining their opinions. They could not only displease their friends, Plato and others, but suffer the heaviest things for their opinions. And shall we not much more hold fast the profession of the true faith? Zonaras, that's Zonaras, in the reign of Michael, the emperor, the son of Theophilus, Theophilus, tells us that when the sister of the prince of Bulgaria became a Christian, and the prince also, by her means, converted the Bulgarians, the Bulgarians conspired against him for this change of religion. This diabolical steadfastness of theirs provoked him to a true Christian steadfastness, till, by God's assistance and blessing, they were made to turn to him, but he turned not again to them. The Athenians impeached Socrates upon his life for going about to innovate and change their religion. But to set aside nature's light, there is not any of the primitive churches to which the apostles wrote epistles, but they were expressly warned either positively to stand fast in the faith, or hold fast their profession, or negatively to beware of and to avoid false teachers, and not to be carried away about with diverse and strange doctrines. Now it must needs be not only a truth, but a most special and necessary truth, which the apostles thought fit thus to press upon the churches in all their epistles written to them. See Romans 16, 17 and 18, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 and 4, Galatians 1, verses 6 and 8, Ephesians 4, verse 14, Philippians 3, verse 2 and 18, Colossians 2, 6 through 8, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, Hebrews 10:23, Hebrews 13, verse 9, James 5:19 and 20, 2 Peter 2:1-3, 2 Peter 3:16-18, 1 John 4, verse 1, Jude 3 and 4. All these texts are full and plain as to this point which I speak to, and in that respect most worthy of our frequent thoughts and observation, especially at such a time when this corner of the world is so full of new and strange doctrines. As for the reasons, take these. 1. If we be not steadfast and immovable in the profession of our faith, we frustrate as to us the end for which the Scriptures were written. Luke gives the reason to his Theophilus, Theophilus, why he wrote the story of Christ's birth, life, and death, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke 1, verse 4. When Peter had mentioned the voice which came from heaven concerning Christ, he added the certainty of the Scripture as a greater certainty. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. The voice from heaven might sooner deceive us than the written word of God. 2. To maintain and profess the true doctrine and the true faith is, by all Protestant Orthodox writers, made one, yea, the principal mark of a true visible church. Christ himself, John 10, verses 4 and 5, gives us this mark of his sheep. The sheep follow him, their shepherd, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, for they know not the voice of strangers. 3. If once we forsake the way of truth and go into an erroneous way, we shall not know where to find our paths. We shall wander from mountain to hill and forget our resting place. As one wave comes after another, so doth one error come after another. As a canker spreadeth, so doth error. 2 Timothy 2:19. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. 2 Timothy 3:13. Which hath made some, and I hope will make more, who were too inclinable to the new doctrines and practices of sectaries at first, now to fall off from them, when they increase unto more ungodliness and unto more error. And there is no end. One error breedeth 100, and 100 will breed 10,000. What was it that made so many fall off from the prelates who once joined with them? Was it not because they were growing from the old ceremonies to many new ones, and each year almost brought in some new superstition, and from popish rites they grew to popish doctrine? 4. If we waver and be led about with diverse and strange doctrines, then the prophecies which had gone before of the true church shall not be made good in us. It was promised concerning the church and kingdom of Christ, Isaiah 32, verses 4 and 5, the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall no more be called liberal. That is, those who simply and rashly were led about with every wind of doctrine shall be so wise and knowing as to distinguish between truth and error, between virtue and vice, and call each thing by its right name. So, Isaiah 33, verse 6, in wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. 5. Instability and forsaking the way of truth makes us lose much that we had gained. 2 John 8. All the comfort we enjoyed, all the good that ever our souls received of such a truth, such a cause, such a ministry, all that ever we did or spake or suffered for the truth, all this we lose when we turn aside after an erroneous way. 6. It greatly hindereth our spiritual comfort and contentment. Colossians 2, verse 2. To be knit together in love is one mean, and to have all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of gospel truth is another mean by which the apostles wisheth the hearts of Christians to be comforted. It addeth much to Paul's comfort that he could say, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. 7. We run a great hazard of our souls and our salvation when we turn aside from truth to error. It is said of the unstable that they wrest the Scriptures unto their own destruction. 2 Peter 3:16. Like a man fallen into quicksand, the more he wrestles out of, the more he sinks. When the apostle had spoken of Christ's purchasing of our reconciliation, justification, and sanctification, he added, and if, for Colossians 1, verse 23, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard. Not that our persevering in the true faith was a condition in Christ's purchasing of those blessings, but it is a condition without which we cannot possess and enjoy what Christ hath purchased. That is, he that falls away from the true doctrine of the gospel proves himself to have no part of the benefits of Christ. Some errors are in their own nature damnable and inconsistent with the state of grace or a fellowship with God. 2 Peter 2, verse 9. So, 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Sure it may be said of Arians, Socinians, Papists, Libertines, they have not God because they abide not in the doctrine of Christ. So Galatians 5, verse 4. Other errors there are, of which I may say, whatsoever they are comparatively in penitency and continuing in them, doth condemn. Whence it is that the Apostle James reckoneth him who errs from the truth to be in a way of death and danger of damnation. James 5, verses 19 and 20. Now the preservative against wavering and helps to steadfastness in the faith are these. 1. Grow in knowledge and circumspection. Be not simple as children in understanding. There is a sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So speaks the apostle of those that spread diverse and strange doctrine. Ephesians 4, 14 and Romans 16, verse 18. He warns us that they do, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Thou hast therefore need of the wisdom of the serpent, that thou be not deceived, as well as the simplicity of the dove, that thou be not a deceiver. Philippians 1, verses 9 and 10. Do not rashly engage into any new opinion, much less into the spreading of it. With the well-advised is wisdom. Pythagoras, that's Pythagoras, would have his scholars only to hear and not to speak for 5 years. Be swift to hear, but not to speak or engage. Prove all things, and when thou hast proved them, be sure to hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, Matthew 7, verse 15 and 17. There was never a heresy yet broached, but under some fair, plausible pretense, beguiling unstable souls, as Peter speaks, 2 Peter 2, verse 14, Proverbs 14, verse 15. The simple believeth every word. Be not like the 200 that went into the simplicity of their hearts after Absalom in his rebellion, not knowing anything but that he was to pay his vow in Hebrew. 2 Samuel 15, verse 11. 2. Grow in grace and holiness and the love of the truth, for the stability of the mind in the truth and the stability of the heart in grace go hand in hand together. Hebrews 13, verse 9. David's rule is good, Psalm 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose, which is also Christ's rule, John 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. See also Deuteronomy 11, verse 13 and 16. Elisha healed the unwholesome waters of Jericho by casting salt into the fountain. 2 Kings 2, verse 21. So must the bitter streams of pernicious errors be healed by getting the salt of mortification and true sanctifying grace in the fountain. 3. Be sure to cleave to thy faithful and sound teachers. The sheep that follows the shepherd are best kept from the wolf. I find the exhortation to stability in the faith joined with the fruitful labors of faithful teachers. Philippians 3, 16 and 17. Hebrews 13, 7 and 9. So the apostle, Ephesians 4, 11 to 14, from the work of the ministry, draweth this consequence, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The Galatians were easily seduced as soon as they were made to discuss Paul. 4. Watch and be vigilant against the first beginnings of declining, against the first seeds of error, Galatians 5, 9. It was while men slept that the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and when he had done, went his way, Matthew 13, 25. Therefore, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 12. Go hand in hand together. 5. Avoid and withdraw from the authors and spreaders of heresies and dangerous errors, Romans 16, verse 17, 1 Timothy 6, 5, 2 John 10 and 11, Philippians 3, verse 2. He that would be godly should not use ungodly company, and he that would be orthodox should not use heretical company, unless he has some good hopes to convert some who have erred from the truth, and come into their company only for that end, James 5, 19 and 20. I remember Chrysostom in divers places warned his hearers how much they endangered their souls by going into the Jewish synagogues, and there was a great zeal in the ancient church to keep Christians that were orthodox from the assemblies and companies of heretics. 6. Get church discipline established and duly exercised, which is ordained to purge the church from false doctrine, Revelation 2, 14 and 20. 7. Lean not unto thine own understanding, and be not wise in thine own eyes, Proverbs 3, 5 and 7. Let reason be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. That which made the anti-Trinitarians and Socinians fall away from the belief of the Trinity of persons in the Godhead and of the union of the two natures of God and man in the person of Christ was because their reason could not comprehend these articles, which is the ground of their opinion professed by themselves. When I speak of captivating reason, I do not mean implicit faith. The eyes of my understanding must be so far opened by the Holy Ghost that I may know such an article is held forth in Scripture to believe, and therefore I do believe that it is, though my reason cannot comprehend how it is. 8. Count thy cost and be well resolved beforehand what it will cost thee to be a disciple of Christ, to be a constant professor of the truth. Luke 14, verses 26 to 34. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. This is sure than to confirm otherwise with the hopes of a golden age of prosperity in which we shall feel no affliction. 9. Search the scriptures, John 5:39, Acts 17:11. Do not take upon trust new lights from any man, be he never so eminent for parts or for grace, but to the law and to the testimony. The upshot of all is that we ought to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, and be steadfast and even immovable in the truth, and not to give place to the adversaries, no, not for an hour. Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5. I do not mean pertinacity in the least error, nor a vain, presumptuous, overweening conceit of our knowledge to make us despise any light which others may give us from scriptures. Pertinacity is an evil upon the one hand, and to be too tenacious of our own opinions, but that levity, inconstancy, wavering, skepticism is an evil upon the other hand. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. Be not soon shaken in mind. And this is the epidemical disease of the sectaries of this time, which I have now been laboring to cure. Their word is yea and nay, and not unlike to that which Celeste, that's S-A-L-U-S-T, objected to Cicero, that he said one thing sitting, another thing standing. Yet it may be sometimes observed that those who are the greatest skeptics and Pyrrhonians, that's P-Y-R-R-H-O-N-I-A-N-S, in reference to the common and received tenets, are the most pertinacious and tenacious tenets, and tenets invested by themselves. I have read it observed of Socinius, that as he set at naught fathers, councils, and the whole current of ancient and modern interpreters of Scripture, so vainglory made him to maintain stiffly and tenaciously any opinion or invention of his own, as if it had been infallible. Men are sooner drawn from truth than from error. Some are unstable in the truth, and unstable in error too. You may find among them, to use Hillary's phrase, they are of a new faith and a new religion every year, if not every month. Remember Reuben's reproach, Genesis 49, verse 4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. One sort of sectaries there is, indeed, which will not engage to hold anything, but are known by believing nothing. These pass now under the name of seekers. Yet if one of the ancient fathers, or of the reformers themselves, who lived 100 years ago, were now alive, they could tell us that these seekers were, in their days, called atheists. And indeed, what other name is due to these Nullicidians who are of no religion? And Nullicidians is Nullicidians, who are of no religion. This ends tape 7 of A Treatise of Miscellany Questions. Please go to the next tape in the series and continue listening. Thank you. This Reformation audio resource is a production of Stillwater's Revival Books. Many free resources, as well as SWRB's complete mail-order catalog containing classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, CDs, and much more at great discounts, is on the web at www.swrb.com. We can also be reached by email at swrb@swrb.com, by phone at 780-450-3730, by fax at 780-468-1096, or by mail at 4710-37A Avenue, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, T6L3T5. If you do not have a web connection, please request a free printed catalog. If you do have a web connection and would like to be added to our email list, please send an email to add@swrb.com with the word add in the subject line. This book, A Treatise of Miscellany Questions by George Gillespie, is also available from Stillwater's Revival Books in softcover format at a discount in our A to Z author listings. And please, don't forget to look over the 30 CDs that make up our Reformation Bookshelf CD set if you visit our website at swrb.com, as these CDs are a great way to build a major Reform library at a fraction of the cost of the printed books.